You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well today in this mid-April Thursday. Before we begin doing rapid-fire Q&A from listeners, I just want to mention, of course, the website is naturopathicearth.com, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C-E-A-R-T-H, naturopathicearth.com. Go there, check out all of our articles. We have like the 5 things you should do in the morning before you go to work, the 4 best superfoods, the 12 biggest sugar-laden superfoods, and we have a bunch of recipes and all that good stuff. So go check it out and peruse it. Also, I am a certified paleo-inspired health coach. If you want to lose weight, contact me and I can maybe help you out. And we have a Patreon account that we created a month or two ago, just a crowdfunding site. And it would really mean a lot to Kate and myself if you could go there and donate even a dollar a month. Dollars, nothing. I mean, that's chump change, and it would really help us to support the site. So go to the description of this episode and click on it, or you can go to the homepage of the website, www.naturopathicearth, and you can click on there to help us out. We'd appreciate that. All right, let's get going. Rapid fire. Okay, first one is from Lisa. Lisa says, pizza versus hamburger. Well, in that simplistic of a question, I would say hamburger, even if you don't take off the bread. Let's say you do take off the bread, then certainly it's going to be a hamburger over pizza. But let's break this down really fast. Pizza, a lot of bread. It's mostly carbs. It's not even complex carbs. It's mostly flour. You have that issue. Then you have the celiac issue. The gluten sensitivity, I mean, most of us don't have celiac, but the gluten sensitivity, the gluten issue that's in the crust. Then you're looking at the spaghetti sauce, which is nominally has some tomato in it, but it's mostly sugar. Then you're looking at the cheese on it. The cheese causes some inflammation in the body. Even if you're not lactose intolerant, we have some issues with casein, one of the enzymes in it. And it's high in calories, and typically the cheese that they use in most pizza parlors isn't the best. They put cellulose in it, which is a filler that you find in actually most shredded cheeses that you buy at the supermarket. And then you look at the toppings. I mean, even if you go vegetarian, of course, that would be an improvement, but the meats are all processed meats, the pepperoni, the sausage, and we know they're direct links to colon cancer, and they're just overall bad. A burger, you can just do more with it. Let's just assume you keep the bread. The meat is going to be a lot of protein, a lot of good protein, and then you can customize it the way you want. You could put avocado on it. You could put a hard-boiled egg on it. You could do even straight out lettuce and tomatoes and pickles and all that. That is fine. So overall, even though both of them you're going to get some carbs, the burger is better, especially if you can go cheeseless and maybe put some avocado, some sauteed onions, even an egg. And it just fills you up more too, because that meat, especially if you get like a nice big quarter or half pound burger, it's going to fill you up. Most of us can eat 4 slices of pizza because there's nothing really filling about it, because it's mostly just empty stuff. So go with the burger. Okay, we got a question from Ronald here. He says, is it best to work out during fasting or while you're in your compressed eating window? I would recommend working out when you're fasting. This can be difficult depending on when your compressed eating window is. For example, for me, my compressed eating window, it varies. Normally, it's like 1:30 to 8. Recently, I've been doing more warrior, all my meals at one time. So I'm doing like a 4-hour window from about 4 to 8. So it's very difficult to At least for me, if you have a 9-to-5 job, to work out during your fast. But ideally, yes. I mean, as it is, your body is running high on the fast. I mean, not to mention just the autophagy, just the cellular regeneration and the mitochondrial reproduction and the insulin sensitivity and the weight loss and all the great things that come, the growth hormones, all the great things that come from fasting. But just imagine your body's biohacking itself. And then if you can do your workout while at the end of your fast, that's even better. And you'll notice that your workouts, assuming you're fasted adapted, okay, this won't be like the day two of you starting to do a 20-hour fast and a 4-hour eating window. But once your body's fasted adapted, you'll notice your workouts will be really, really good. And again, if you're working out during your eating window, you've probably just eaten, right? Because it's during your eating window. And so a lot of your blood's going to be digesting the food, which means less can be shunted to your muscles. So definitely recommend, if you can, like some of you work out in the morning before you go to work, and you at least have a 12-hour fast going on right there, that's what I would recommend. But again, a workout, strength training, and low cardio with occasional sprint is better during your compressed eating window than not at all. But if there's a choice to it, work out when you're fasting. All right, this is from Paul. His fiance is wanting to go ketogenic just to get in better health. He wants to know what's a really good ketogenic breakfast. All right, so ketogenic is a high-fast breakfast that kind of keeps your body in a state of ketosis where you're burning either exogenous ketones, which is your mostly super high-fat diet, and it varies. Most people consider a ketogenic diet anywhere where you're eating less than 50 grams of total carbs a day. So it's very hard. It's low carbs, typically consider 150 grams or lower. So keto is very hard to sustain, but that's exogenous ketosis. So you're eating a lot of fat. And the other way it would be just by fasting. By fasting, your body's got to tap into your fat reserves once it's exhausted all your glucose reserves that the body has. So a keto breakfast would be, again, a lot of high fat, moderate protein, no carbs. So you're looking at full fat yogurt or bacon and eggs with no bread, just bacon and eggs, egg and steak. I mean, you could do like a kind of a yogurt parfait in the morning with some berries. Berries are pretty low in sugar. Throw in some chia seeds, throw in some cinnamon. But honestly, if you got to go breakfast, I would just do eggs. I mean, eggs are carb-free, bacon's carb-free. Just do bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs all the way. That's a great breakfast right there. And of course, bulletproof coffee would be great too. And if you don't know what bulletproof coffee is, it's essentially butter, preferably organic or grass-fed, MCT oil, which is medium chain triglyceride oil, or you can use coconut oil and then coffee. All right, I have Victoria here wants to know when to drink apple cider vinegar. And she wants to know what I think of the mixed drinks. I have noticed the mixed drinks. So if you haven't been in the supermarket, I know Walmart sells these, for example. They have apple cider vinegar drinks that are mixed with, typically it's lemon with a little honey. And again, it's like going back to the workouts during fasting or not fasting. I'd rather you be drinking ACV with the added sugar of the honey and the cinnamon. And sometimes they have lemon or cayenne. Than not drinking it at all, but preferably I would rather you just drink a shot of ACV. Now, I know some people like to mix it in with water, but to me, it just makes the water stink to high heaven. So I like just to take a quick shot of it. What I've read, the literature I've seen, it's best to do your ACV when you're fasting. So maybe 30 minutes to an hour before you eat. If you're doing the typical, let's say 1-to-8 compressed eating window fasting, when you wake up, you could do a little ACV, 8 a.m., whatever, or you can wait till about noon, let's say, and then do your shot. That's the ideal. I've read some literature that if you do the ACV while you're eating, there can be some issues with how it's metabolized and it's not as healthy for you. So I would ideally do it fasting. All right, I got it. This is from Delton. Delton wants to know what I think about non-nicotine vaping. All right. Vaping, this is going to take a little longer. And actually, this is its own episode in itself because my students are big into vaping. Okay, so the Juul is the most popular probably vape right now. The Juul vape is nicotine. laced. And so I'm not a big fan of that because why would we want to expose our high schoolers or any human to nicotine, right? I think it kills something like smoking kills about 250,000 people a year, right? All the pernicious maladies that come from smoking cigarettes. So vaping, I suppose it is good if you are a habitual cigarette smoker and you're wanting to wean off of that and you go to vaping because there are less toxicants in vaping than there are in a cigarette without the filters and all that. There's just tons of horrible things in the filters and the cigarettes. So that's good. But aside from that, I would not recommend anybody vape. Anybody vape. Vaping is bad. And the thing, it's not regulated by the FDA. The big vape, if you want to call it big vape, essentially bribed the FDA last year to postpone the regulation of vaping and the vaping industry for another 5 years. So we don't know what's in those ingredients when you buy the little canisters that you put in the vape. It could be anything. I mean, it's like the synthetic cannabinoids like Scooby Snacks and K2 and all these things that they ship in from China. If you're not familiar with the synthetic cannabinoids, it's like chemicals that mimic THC. So when you take these chemicals, it makes you get high. And they sell them as potpourri. You can go to gas stations and they sell them as potpourri, but they're most commonly known as Scooby Snacks and K2. Those aren't regulated at all. So people have died by taking it. So I'm not saying you're going to die if you vape, but I'm saying that we don't want anyone doing nicotine-laced vaping because the study shows something like 90% of people who ever smoke ever get off of it permanently. I mean, it's highly, 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 highly addictive. The other issue is the non-nicotine vaping ones, which is what Delton was asking about. I mean, you can buy like gummy bear flavor, bubble gum flavor, mint flavor, you know, and the reason I think this is so insidious is because really what they're targeting are the youth, right? They're targeting the tweens and they're trying to get the kids hooked on vaping. So even though they're not buying the nicotine ones, they're getting them used to vaping, and then eventually it's going to be like a gateway drug, and they'll likely move from the non-nicotine stuff like the gummy bear flavor to the nicotine ones, and then from there, who knows, they could go to smoking or whatever. So I'm not a big fan of them at all. I would recommend just to stay away from all of them completely. I am very well aware, as my students tell me, and we catch kids vaping at high school all the time because a lot of the vapes look like cell phones. They look like pens. They look very indiscriminate. You can't tell them apart. So it's super pervasive. It's super pervasive. But if I had to tell like a good, well-intentioned, teetotaling high school kid, stay away from it. All right, let's see. Joe wants to know about CBD oil for insomnia. I have CBD oil, and I have used it for my insomnia. Just so you know, my insomnia has improved in the last month or two, if any of you have kept up with that. I think I mentioned it more in Confessions of an Obese Child in the latter episodes, and then I've mentioned in the two episodes that I've done on MP Radio on insomnia and how to treat it. I do have it. Again, what are you comparing it to? If we're comparing it to Lanesta and Soma and Ambien, hell yeah, take the CBD oil because those drugs are horrible. Talk to anybody who's on them. You get night terrors. You wake up missing time on the other side of town to remember how you got there. I mean, there's just horrible side effects. You have withdrawal problems, addiction problems. So yeah, CBD oil is much better. I mean, I would probably recommend first doing the natural biohack. So lavender and taking magnesium and taking a walk, taking a hot bath because the body's going to try to cool you down afterwards, which makes you sleepy and, you know, get rid of the blue light and not look at screens and use filters and all that stuff. But if you have to use a supplement, I don't have a problem with CBD oil. I don't know if it's really efficacious for me because there's nights where I don't take it and I sleep okay. And then there's nights that I take it that I sleep okay. So with me, it's more of the neuroses. It's more of just the racing thoughts. But I don't have a problem with it. I'd probably try acupuncture first. I probably do CBD oil before kratom and some of the other ones. But I'm open to it. I'm open to it. Just give it a shot. You know, you can vape CBD. And I'm, again, not a big fan of that. So I would try the sublingual drops on the CBD oil or pills. All right, this is from Joshua. Kids hooked on the phone. What can we do about it? Yeah. maybe drop an EMF pulse bomb over the United States where all the electricity doesn't work. I don't know what else that would use. not to use hyperbole. If we're talking about like little kids, I've heard some podcasts that are pretty smart about it. Look, if it's indiscriminate watching or playing games that really don't help your kids, you really don't want them on the iPads that long. If it's one where they're like learning flight simulator or painting or drawing, where they're actually learning a skill or learning how to play piano, it's better. Now, I've heard some people, what they do is they'll like charge their iPad on Sunday and it has a full charge. And then they give it to the kids. You know, this would be good for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And they tell them, okay, you can use this until the battery runs out. And when the battery runs out, you can't use it for the rest of the week, and you hide the plug. The good thing about this is that you know that the kids are going to be limited to maybe 4 hours for the entire week, but also they have to learn self-restraint and be judicious as to how they use the iPad. So that's what I would say. I mean, if the kids are young, delete all the stupid stuff. Of course, put filters because the average age that a kid sees porn now is 8 years old. So get rid of the dumb games or limit it or watch them when they're using it. And then use some sort of regulatory system. Some people say like Saturdays you can do it all you want. Sundays is completely prohibited. And then during the week you get no more than 2 hours cumulative. With the high schoolers, yeah. I don't know. You're screwed on that one. All right, this is from Jana. She wants to know what's the healthiest dessert. Well, again, there's like this runs the gamut. What would be the healthiest dessert? I mean, you can do some cocoa nibs if you like cocoa nibs, but cocoa nibs are pretty nasty. Berries by themselves, or maybe berries with some heavy cream. Pretty much everything's better than the typical American desserts of brownies, cookies, cakes, pies. I love baklava, and you think about baklava, the good thing about baklava is it's very easy to make, and it's very natural. It's very paleo. So what you're doing is just buying phyllo dough, which is that thin crust, and you crush down, typically it's pistachios and walnuts, and then you just layer them in phyllo dough and then put another layer of phyllo over it, and then another layer of the nuts. Another layer of phyllo dough, and then you drizzle honey on it, and then you put it in the oven. It's pretty healthy. I mean, compared to other desserts, you're getting honey, which is natural, and then you're getting nuts, which are great, very fattening, high in fat, and then the phyllo dough. I mean, the phyllo dough isn't the best. I mean, there's other great desserts, but I would go off the top of my head. I'm a big fan of the baklava and just try to stay clear of all the flour-based sweets as possible. All right, James has heard about the coffee acrylamide fear over in California. If you haven't heard about this, there's like a judge over there who is wanting to push that there be warnings put on acrylamide on all coffee that you buy or even at the Starbucks and so forth. So acrylamide, we did an episode on acrylamide. I think it's the one that covers overcooking your meat. Does overcooking your meat lead to pancreatic and colon cancer? Acrylamide is a byproduct, a toxic byproduct when you roast or cook at very high temperatures, typically starchy foods. So we're looking at cereals, we're looking at fries, we're looking at chips, and we're looking at chocolate and coffee. So over in California, they have a law where they have to label anything that has possibly carcinogenic. So somebody's wanting to label the coffee there is being high in acrylamide. Okay, we don't want acrylamide, but honestly, you're getting acrylamide from all the things that you've mentioned and from other things, crackers, for example. But the way I would look at it is that the benefits of coffee, of the Arabica bean, are so high, and they supersede the dangers of the acrylamide. So I would continue drinking coffee, of course, bulletproof or black, or maybe sweetened with stevia, but not really with a lot of milk and cream, you know, Starbucks kind of garbage, the unicorn frappuccino, whatever they call it. Those horrible. No. I'm talking about coffee, hardcore coffee. Get high level organic coffee. The studies show something like if you drink 4 cups a day or less, it's great for your cognition. It's great for your memory. It's great for your metabolism. It's good for your kidneys. So yeah, I would keep drinking the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. Of course, I like tea, but I would continue drinking the coffee. Just try to buy the best quality you can. All right, I got a question from Martha. She wants to know about school vaccinations. All right, here in Texas, it's really easy to get affidavits for affidavits for your kids if you don't want them to get vaccinated. All you have to do is go to the Department of Public Safety website in Texas, and there's a little form you fill out. You just put your kids' names and all that, your address, and they mail you the affidavit, and you just have to get it notarized, and boom, every school, every daycare has got to adhere by it. Don't know about your state. You know, some of the lefty ones like Massachusetts and California are going to make it harder for religious reasons and for, you know, conscientious objector kind of stuff. But officially, the whole idea of no shots, no school, you know, this school's tried to scare you with that every August is a lie. You can choose not to vaccinate your kids. And if that is your choice, that is your choice. Most of you guys know how I feel about vaccination. I am a staunch anti-vaxxer in almost all cases. I do have those two episodes I have on Gardasil and on the flu shot. But in general, I'm not a big fan of it. My kids are not vaccinated. So I would check with your state. I'm sure there's a website where you can check that out. But push your school on it. If you show them the affidavit and they're like, no, but you have to adhere by this. And then ask to talk to a manager. Move your way up. Don't fall for that you have to get shots. Because again, if the kid has side effects, you have no recourse really. You can't sue the doctor. You can't sue the pharmaceutical company. You can't sue anybody. And you're just going to be in a long time in the adverse reaction vaccination court that they have. I forgot the name for it. And you, at the best, you might get some money 7 years down the road after you spent so much money on lawyer fees. All right, I got a question from, another one from Felicia. She wants to know about ASMR and sleeping. All right, ASMR, I forgot what it stands for. It's like autonomic sensory, blah, 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 blah. And there are some crazy videos of ASMR on YouTube. So ASMR is essentially using really relaxing, quiet sounds like this, and you talk like this. And some people find it very relaxing to fall asleep. They like the sounds of somebody talking really light. You can find ones of raindrops falling on a tin roof. I mean, there are some strange ones where you can watch a woman eating pickles and crunching the pickles right in front of a microphone. I mean, there's one where a woman's like they're putting on makeup and you watch them, and it's some people use it for insomnia and some people just love it because they get this one-on-one connection because the person on the screen is talking to you and they're like, how do you like this makeup? Let me put on this one, and you get this real bond. So I personally don't like ASMR because I don't like this one. It freaks me out. So I don't personally use it. Try it out and see how it works for you. All right, we're just going through these. Cauliflower meals, what do I think of them? I think it's great. Cauliflower rice, cauliflower mashed potatoes, cauliflower bread that some people use for pizza. It's great. I mean, anything we can get away from flour, because flour essentially has no nutrition at all, aside from the gluten issue, and go to a vegetable that's masquerading as some sort of starch, great. Do it. So it's just a question of finding recipes. I know I'm not the most prodigious cook, and I know that making a crust is difficult. Sometimes you have to use some eggs to keep it bonded so it's not as brittle. But I know Kate's done cauliflower mashed potatoes. I've eaten those, and they taste like mashed potatoes. And I've eaten cauliflower rice. And most supermarkets now have them already prepackaged where you can get them. But definitely make the shift if you can handle the taste and if your kids can handle the taste. And try it out. Give it to your kids and see if they notice the difference. All right, I got a question from Travis. He wants to know about why he gets really hungry at night on nights he doesn't sleep well. There's a hunger hormone called ghrelin, which I think is a great name, ghrelin. And what happens is when we don't sleep well or we go to bed really late, because we're throwing everything off because sleeping is the restorative state and it calibrates the hormones, the body releases more ghrelin at night, which makes us hungry at night. And so there's a reason why you do your Taco Bell run at 2 a.m. Part of it is just kind of a custom, right? You go out, you go dancing, and you're like, oh, I'm hungry. And maybe you are hungry because you worked out or you stay out late and you want to eat. But it's not uncommon if you either don't have your fasting, your compressed eating window calibrated well, or you're not sleeping well to get really hungry because ghrelin is ratcheted up and it makes you hungry. All right, Mike wants to know, what doesn't break a fast? Okay, so water. unsweetened coffee, like natural coffee, unsweetened tea. If you do both with stevia, and I'm not a big fan of stevia, go to that podcast on a review of sweeteners. Not a big fan of it, and it's very hard to find the organic, not the organic, but the actual unrefined stevia, and when you do find it, it tastes like sheetrock, and you're not going to want to put it in. You could do, of course, artificial sweeteners, which I'm definitely not a big fan of, like Sweet and Low and aspartame and all that, Splenda. Apple cider vinegar doesn't break the fast. Lemon water doesn't break the fast. It depends really who you talk to. I'm talking about like daily compressed eating windows. I'm not talking about like five-day fasting. Now, five-day fasting, you can have a little more juice. You can have the electrolyte waters and the salt water and all that. But a typical daily fast, I mean, you can do different research, and different research will tell you different things. Some people say you could have even a piece of dark chocolate because of 90% because it's so fat-laden and won't break you out of fast. What I would do is just stay really hydrated and drink all the aforementioned fluids, and that should easily get you to lunch once you're fast adapted. Oh, another fasting question. Look at this. This is from Juliana. What do I think of long-term day fasts? Okay. Everyone's different. You know, if you go online, you'll see people that do 3-4 day fasts. You'll see, I think most people who do fasting do like a 18-6 daily, and then maybe a couple times a month they do like a 2 day fast or a 3 day fast. It is possible to do it. Your body is evolutionally wired to go that long. Now, the whole idea, oh, I got to eat every, you know, 2 hours, 6 meals a day. No, that was fabricated by the breakfast company to sell products that they made, like waffles and pancakes and all these other things, cereals. I mean, cereal company made the phrase, the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. We don't need breakfast. Throughout most of time, even through the Industrial Revolution, Renaissance, Enlightenment, they didn't eat breakfast. They only had 2 meals, probably because they were so poor they couldn't afford it. But either way, we can go 24 hours without fasting, especially your body's already used to doing a compressed eating window. You could certainly do 24 hours. If you're going to do like 2, 3, 4 hours, like I mentioned, you got to keep the electrolytes up. You got to drink some salt water, and you'll be amazed. Now, I've never done longer than a 24-hour fast. What I understand and what I've heard is that your acumen, I mean, if you think your acumen is really sharp when you're on the cusp of a 20-hour fast near the end of it, what I've heard is when you're doing 36 hours, 48, I mean, it is just mind-boggling. And then all the real hardcore bona fide benefits of fasting kick in. All the autophagy, for example, your body just throws away all the decomposing, debilitating cells, throws them out, and your body creates new cells. You create more mitochondria. And that's what autophagy is. It's just essentially throwing out cellular debris. And all the biohacks really kick in. That's not to say like regular 18-6 fasting isn't beneficial to you. It's just not as beneficial as doing 24-plus hour fast. Now, I would not recommend you do like 7 day. I mean, there are people who do that once in a while. I'm just not a big recommender of that. I would stick to just work your way up. And if you want to do a 2 day fast, try it. Just do some research and make sure you keep your fluids and your electrolytes going. All right, this is from Sophia with an F. I love the name Sophia, but I think it's better with a PH, no offense. Do I need to buy organic tea? Yeah, I mean, if money is not an object, yeah. Here's the issue with tea. Most of it's made in China, Sri Lanka, India, Vietnam, and they use a sheetrock lot of pesticides, and they're absorbed by it, especially if you're drinking the black tea. So if you want a little review on the teas, I have a YouTube video on it. Just go to Naturopathic Earth. I forgot to mention that I created a little YouTube channel. I got 2 videos on it. But go to that one. It's a little 2-minute primer on the colored teas, or go back to the MP episode. It's probably in the 30s, MP radio number 30, 35, around there, which of the colored teas is best. Black tea is the oldest one, so it's the most mature of the Camellia sinensis bush, and that's when it's harvested. So it does accumulate more of the pesticides. So either way, I would just recommend, if you can afford it, get organic. I know down here, HEB is the big conglomerate monopoly supermarket, and I can get organic green tea and organic chamomile tea, I can get 15 packets for $2.49, which isn't bad. If you look at some of the national brands like Numi and all these other ones, it is pretty steep. It's like, you know, 12 tea bags is $5. But definitely, I mean, you can find cheaper ones. But if money's not an object, I would definitely go with the organic. Okay, a question from Sarah. She wants to know about any flying biohacks. Well, or biohacks when you're flying. Okay, right off the top of my head, hydrate. Take a lot of prophylactic vitamin C and vitamin D to strengthen your immune system because you are breathing dirty air. You're breathing the air that everyone else is breathing. So definitely do that. Load up and take a lot of vitamin C and a lot of vitamin D ahead of time. Drink a lot of fluids. If you can get like Organifi or one of those juice powder packets, take it with you on the airplane and then pour it in some water and drink some green juice. That's great. Or if you can buy some green juice ahead of time, that's great because it's going to give you that super boost of micronutrients. Plus, it's going to keep you hydrated. In terms of radiation, you're getting a lot. Some of the studies I've seen show that you get about on a typical 3-hour flight, you're getting something like 200 chest x-rays equivalent of radiation just being closer to the sun. And we don't want that, right? So there's not much you can do about that, but grounding, if you want to earth, if you've heard of earthing, that's like stepping your bare feet on the ground to get rid of some of that ionizing radiation or that, I should say, static. The static electricity that we accumulate throughout the day, and we don't discharge unless you get your feet to touch the ground. That's why if you ever notice, if you touch grass or dirt barefoot, it feels really good. You can't really do that on the plane, but what you can do is take off your socks and just put your feet on whatever metal. So think of the seat in front of you. There typically is a little metal bar on the bottom. Just keep your feet grounded. That will help with the kind of the EMF because you're getting a lot of EMF as well. And it's going to help with the solar radiation. And it's going to help with just the static electricity that you're building up. Okay, I got a fun question here. Boxers or briefs? When I was a fat kid, I wore white tidy whities, and they were big. You know, I used to be a size 58 waist when I was in high school, and they always had skid marks. That was horrible. I used to get such bad rashes that my mom used to put baby powder on my rashy genitalia up to the age where I was 15, 16 years old. If you want more information on this, go listen to Confessions of an Obese Child, the early episodes, like the locker room and gym class, and I talk about that. When I lost my weight, I went through a period of doing boxers. Now I don't. I wear briefs, but they're kind of like the tighter briefs that kind of go down to maybe a third of your thigh. I don't do like Speedo Brazilian type ones. I don't like that, but currently I don't have any boxer briefs at all. I don't have any boxers. So I do briefs, but kind of like not the small briefs, but the bigger briefs. And I just like them. Last question from Natasha. What's my favorite show right now or favorite shows? Smilf. Recently got Showtime through my Amazon account. Smilf's a great show. It's very irreverent. It's about a single mother in Boston, South Boston white woman, and she has a 2-year-old biracial kid, and she's a single mom and dirt poor. And it's a comedy. It's kind of a comedy dramedy. Rosie O'Donnell plays her mom in it, and Connie Britton plays like the rich woman that she works for. Connie Britton was in Friday Night Lights in Nashville, and it's funny and it's very relatable, and it's a really cute show. It does hit some like major kind of powerful stuff. She talks about, or the character talks about being molested, and so it is pretty hardcore. I like that show. What else new? Oh, I've been watching the documentary on Wild Wild Country on Netflix, which is about the Rajneesh. This was a Indian seer mystic, and he opened a big compound in Oregon, in rural Oregon, and he shipped in like 3,000 of his followers, and they were all like in hippie love and having just these orgies. And then they later tried to poison the Oregon people because the Oregon people were good old white Christian people and didn't want these weird Indian Eastern mysticism type people there. And so it's a great documentary. It's a 6-part documentary. It's a great one. I really like that one. And that's it right now. Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, I tried to go through about 20 questions from people as fast as I could. Hopefully that was helpful to you. As always, please, guys, subscribe. It only takes a click of the phone or wherever you're listening to it. And please, it doesn't take a lot. And please post a review, guys. Post a review. It takes maybe 20 seconds. And especially if you have an iPhone, it's very easy. Where you're listening to it, it says, do you want to post a review? And then you just put in your Apple ID and then hit out how many stars and write a sentence or two. That's all it is. It really helps Kate and myself. We don't get any money off of it, of course, but it just helps with the rankings and bringing awareness. Let other friends know about MP Radio or Naturopathy Earth Radio. And I've noticed in the last week or two that our downloads have really jumped up. So I really appreciate that, guys. I mean, it's gone up like 20% in the last 2 weeks. So I really, really appreciate it. If there's any new listeners, I would recommend, of course, go listen to Kate's Apothecary. If you guys are anywhere interested in meditation and mindfulness and essential oils, she's got a great podcast. Albeit she hasn't done any new episodes in several months, but her voice is real nice and relaxing. And of course, go listen to Confessions of an Obese Child if you have any issues with addiction. I talk about my issues with addiction and later with orthorexia and eating disorders after I lost my weight. So go check that out. All right, guys, take care. God bless. And I'll see you Monday.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.